You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
Howdy do.
Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday. It's another Sunday, beautiful Sunday afternoon, and here we are recording the world-famous Photobomb Podcast.
I like this morning when you texted me and you asked me if I was wedding drunk, which I had
hungover,
never
if you had a wedding hangover.
If I had a wedding hangover, is that what you said? Wedding hangover?
Yes, wedding hangover, yeah.
I have a bar mitzvah hangover. I thought that was funny because, yes, you, even though you're not drinking, the day after a wedding, you're quite wiped out.
Yeah, you know, you're on your feet 90% of the time. You're doing a lot of squats, you know, when you shoot a wedding, because I'm always squatting down, because if I'm shooting dancing, I don't want to be blocking somebody's view of what's going on, so I pop up and shoot and get back down and pop up and shoot. So my quads, is it quads? My legs are always sore.
From your quads and your lats?
You know, my delts, my flibbius maximus something is, but yeah, there's the wedding hangover is a real thing, but I've never heard anybody complain about a bar mitzvah hangover, but you know, that's legit. I'm sure it's exactly the same, except instead of, like, you know, for you, instead of trying to make two overweight normal people look good with their pale fleshy skin on the beach, you're trying to make like a 13-year-old kid look cool.
Yes. Like, really? Yeah. It's not as bad, I'll tell you. Bar mitzvahs are easier in most respects than weddings. A day's not as long for starters, but I don't do a lot of squatting anymore. I spend a lot of time with my camera above my head for dance
really?
Pictures. I use a really wide lens, and then I'm shooting. If they're all dancing in circles in the middle, then I'm holding my camera up. But matter of fact, I don't understand how short people can shoot wedding, receptions.
Because, I imagine there's a lot of standing on chairs.
Yeah.
If I had to, yeah. But you're a pretty tall guy, so you raise your arms and you're up there. But you know, I think even your average height person probably has trouble with that. I have no idea.
Last night was pretty cool because they had the kid crowd surf, which I'd never seen, which was it was great. And so I was on the stage, and I'll put this picture on my website soon, and he falls back, and I'm holding the camera up with a wide lens over him shooting down as, you know, the minute he hits the crowd. So it's a great – looks like a drone shot of the kid, you know, looking up and as he's crowd surfing all the people underneath him. And I thought they should just replace the horror with that. So instead of putting him in the chair and dancing him around, let's just start doing a crowd surf. That could be the new, 21st century horror, which is crowd surfing.
I'd like to see a little more bride crowd surfing. I think that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, right?
But everybody be tangled under the dress like one of those parachutes in elementary school. Like, where are we? What's going on? Like a bunch of drunk people trapped under a long dress. That sounds kind of awesome.
It's all fun and games until somebody suffocates, Gary.
So, hey, I got an email. I got an email today, this morning, on Sunday morning, and I don't check my email a ton over the weekend, but usually about once a day. And so I pop it up, and are you familiar with the concept of negging someone? Have you heard this before? It's usually used in the context of a guy trying to pick up a girl.
Okay.
And negging would be like if when you say something derogatory to someone in a way that is meant to play on their insecurities to sort of endear them to you. For example, like if you go up to a girl at a bar and you say, "Hey, you look really nice tonight, except for your shoes. Not sure what you were thinking with the shoes." And then you walk away.
Okay. You know? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so sure. I do that absolutely.
Yeah. So it's this really sexist and awful practice to say something terrible to someone to play on their insecurities. And so basically, I had posted on my blog a couple of weeks ago a post about how we do team shots for companies. Like we shoot the whole office. But if everybody can't get together at the same time, you shoot them individually and extract them and put them into the photo later, you know? So it's a pretty cool – and I did a blog post about it. And I got an email this morning where a guy was like, "Hey, I was just on your website and I noticed that there are some real problems with your extraction because there was like a couple of pixels in the hair of one of the people that I had extracted it badly. Just my fault, you know? But I just – and I noticed it and I was like, you know what? I spent like an hour putting this blog post together. I am not going to go back and fix it right now. I'm too busy.
There's something. There is absolutely something to be said for good enough.
Yeah. So this guy emails me. He says he follows my website. He was reading the blog to point out this mistake. And then he goes and tells me, about you know, extracting in this mistake. All that, and he said he saw my Creative Live class, and that's why he follows me. And he just wanted to point out this mistake. Oh, and by the way, he also does editing professionally, and here's his website.
Check out. Well, here we go.
I feel like I got negged at the bar. You know, do you get these? I also had a girl contact me through Facebook a few weeks ago, and it was the opposite. She basically said, hey, I just want to let you know that your retouching is really great. And I said, hey, thanks. Wow. I mean, that's just a thing that people don't usually notice. You know, they just, you know, it's just a thing that you do. And then we chatted back and forth a couple of times. She goes, well, I should know because I'm a professional retoucher, and here's my website, and let me know if you need anything. I'm like, grrr, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just the sleaziest, like, sidle up to somebody at the bar, and, you know, first of all, don't make me your friend on Facebook and then try to market to me through Messenger. That's like the modern day equivalent of a phone call during damn dinner. I'm just don't want it. You know, like, pay for your marketing and market like a normal person and stop trying to get in touch with me and be my friend and then sell me something, you jerk. And also, don't insult me. I'm not an insecure co-ed. You know, I don't, like, I'm not, if you insult me, I'm just going to go fix it. And first of all, have you ever gone to another photographer's website, and I get this sometimes, and comb through it for errors and typos and then emailed them about it? Because I've gotten this a few times. It's like, oh, did you realize you used the wrong there? You used T-H-E-R-E instead of T-H-E-I-R in your about section. I'm like, you know what? I hope you die. I think that's terrible.
Now, don't get me wrong, though. If someone – if you want to text me or whatever and say, hey, on this blog post you misspelled a word or something. That actually doesn't bother
me.
But
you're my friend.
Because I want to, I'll just go fix that in a second. And that's something that can be annoying. But if you're going to call me, if you're going to text me to tell me that, you know, my retouching isn't good, and by the way, you do retouching for hire, then no.
Yeah, immediately. No. Like if they knew me even a little bit, I'm going to be so screw you just by the fact that you, in your time, took the time to, like, criticize something of mine. You know, if you had emailed me and you had said, hey, man, I just noticed this on your thing and I didn't know if you saw it, I'd be like, oh, good, Boo-Boo's looking out for me. I got it, man. Thanks, right. Boo.
When in reality, like, I never look at your work in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, I don't pay attention to you at all.
Hey, I've been watching all your slideshows and stuff recently. By the way, I think we need to talk about some stuff because I don't have criticism. I have some compliments for you. But anyway.
Well, let me say something about that, though. In the same thing, I just recently had the same thing happen to me in a different vein. And let me preface this by saying, if the person who did this is listening, I did not take offense at this. Isn't there a part of you that understands that these people are trying to make a living? And you and I, we've gone after customers, and they look at us as a customer, and they're just trying to make a living. And we go and speak, and then we offer to maybe sell something afterwards, and they're just doing the same thing, only they're doing it directly. They're coming straight at you. So I had someone do that who came to me and said, hey, I liked your slideshow thing you did, and I have a group on Pinterest where I post all this stuff. A bunch of people post all this stuff, you know, and can I put it in that group? And I said, sure. And then she said, hey, I say she, it could have been a he. She said it could have been. And she said,
it was probably a she.
And then she said, would you like to have admin privileges so you can post stuff there yourself in the future? And I was like, okay. You know, I mean, it's not really something I'm...
You're getting reeled in, buddy.
It's on my radar. And I made a mistake of saying, okay, but I really don't do much with Pinterest. And then she came back with, well, you know, I actually can teach you how to do more stuff with Pinterest, and the first lesson will be free, and then after that it will only be X amount of dollars per hour for me to teach you how to market.
You thought you had a new friend.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, all right.
So I have more frustrations online this last week. I had I'm struggling with Instagram because I'm marketing really well with social media. We get a lot of our clients that book and they come in and they comment on how active we are and that they check us out online and that our reviews are good and that they follow us here and there. But we get, you know, probably on average 5 to 10 new followers, let's say, on Instagram a week. But like, we actually get like 20. But our net yield of Instagram followers is like 5, because there's people use Instagram are so freaking stingy with their follows. Have you noticed this? Like, people will follow you, and then I'll see how many followers we have every day, and I look at the metadata through stuff that we have, the analytics, and people will follow you, And then they'll, like, go back a day later and unfollow you because they want to follow you so that you get the notification that they followed you so that you'll check out their profile and maybe follow them. So they'll just go down through Instagram and they'll follow, like, maybe 100 people a day. And if they get, like, 10 followers out of it every day, that's pretty good growth. And so what they'll do is they'll – if they need photographer followers and they're like a professional retouching service or a company that sells modifiers or something, or just a company that does social media work or whatever, they'll just go through and just follow buttloads of people. But then, like, the effort that it takes to go back, like, who did I follow yesterday? And I want to make sure that I unfollow them so that I, like, because you don't want your follow to following ratio to be out of whack. Like, I just can't understand. It's so irritating because I'm like, oh, yes, finally you broke 1700 or whatever, and it's like you're back down to 683. You're like, what the hell just happened? What did I do to make people angry to unfollow me? So it's a little frustrating.
No, it's a scam. But it's the same thing, yeah, where they have robots comment on it, on stuff on Instagram, because yes, their Instagram is nothing but an advertising platform for their business. So they have a robot comment on all these other Instagram feeds because they know that when you see the comment, you'll then click to see their Instagram to see, like, who left this nice comment. And when the minute you click to see their Instagram, you're now seeing their billboard. Basically, you're seeing their ad. And so that's they're just their way to get your eyes on that. They're not hoping necessarily that you'll follow them, but they very much just want you to go to their Instagram because it's nothing but ads for their business.
Anytime anybody just comments with, like, a thumbs up or the little hands up in the air, like, I immediately go to their profile and I block them.
That's just a robot. Yeah,
I will not stop blocking people. Screw you guys. But I'm actually finding that putting a real concerted effort into our social media is clients are talking about it when they come into the studio.
Really?
And I find that people that, especially if you get people that are probably, I would say, under 40, it's when you make a buying decision or choose somebody in service, like, you have the ability to check them out. So, like, with us, you can follow us on Instagram, follow Instagram stories, check out our Facebook page, look at our personal Facebook pages, go to our website, read our about section. You can do check out our Google reviews. You can do a tour of a virtual tour of the inside of our camera room. You can do all this on social media. And I'm finding that people are actually doing all of it. And people are coming in ever since we really started putting a focus on our social media. People have been coming into the studio, and about every one out of every three people is like, yeah, you guys do this really well, or I saw this, or they mentioned something that we did in a story on Instagram. And it's like, it's a pretty powerful force and way to stay kind of in people's lives. I'm finding that not only do we bring in new people with it, but we also keep our core audience of people that continue to use us engaged. And I think that it's a really, like, it's a pain in the butt to keep up on. I spend half of my Monday every week just scheduling out all our social media posts, and every single shoot that I'm shooting in the studio and on location, I'm doing stories and behind the scenes photos of everything. But people actually really check this stuff out, and they really seem to get into it.
Yeah, you have really ramped up the Instagram stories. Every day, there's Gary with his My Story, you know, I don't know, I'm on my way to get coffee, and I'm talking to you from the car, and, you know, you do a lot of that stuff.
You know why I started doing it? It's because there are several followers, photographers, who I follow that I really admire, and I look at their stories every day. Like, I'm fascinated to see what's going on inside their studios. I'm fascinated with, like, just looking for lighting setups and thoughts and stuff. So it's a really – I find myself liking it. And if it's that authentic enough to where I feel like I'm enjoying it and getting something out of it, I figured, well, it has value. You know, if it was just like, I don't really spend a lot of time following people that are just like, here's a picture of my desk organized really pretty and stuff like that. Or like, you know, it's, but people, like, there are photographers who post about behind the scenes of their sessions, and they talk about their days and clients and interactions and stuff that's going on with them and behind the scenes of photography trade shows and conferences that I'm not at. And there's all kinds of cool stuff like that. I find that really interesting. And the way that Stories was designed was a lot like Snapchat, was just to be like live in the moment. This is what's happening. And there's a subconscious feeling of being really connected to something. And it's a really cool and powerful marketing tool. And I'm finding that I'm getting about, you know, like somewhere between 100 to 150 views every time I post a little story. So it's an additional 100, 150, and you have to click on it and watch it to get registered as a view, so I'm engaging a lot of people every single day by using that. And so it just takes a second. I'm like, hey, I'm here at my next photo shoot, and it gives you the opportunity to expand your reach, because now in stories you can tag other businesses, which is really cool. So if I'm like doing a shoot, I did just the other day at the JW Marriott, and I took a picture of the front of the hotel. It's like, here's my office for the day, and I tagged the JW Marriott in Orlando, and I saw that they actually looked at it. They looked at my story, and then they followed me. I don't know if they unfollowed me later, but the cool thing is that there's all kinds of stuff. I did something with Tether Tools. I tagged Tether Tools, and they sent me a private message to say, hey, glad you're enjoying the product and stuff. And like, there's a lot of opportunity for cross promotion and engagement. And if you're like shooting with another photographer or like a wedding DJ and they're using Instagram and they have an Instagram, you can tag them at the wedding, and then their followers might see that they're there, and they can tag you in it, and their followers will see you, and your followers will see them. Like, there's a lot of opportunity to grow your audience with similar businesses that have similar demographics by using stories, and people will watch them. People watch them a lot. I'm surprised by how many people spend time watching every single one that we put up. And as long as they're brief, there's a lot of great social media podcasts out there that I listen to. Chase Jarvis podcast is one, and there's a bunch of others that I listen to, Build Your Tribe, and a bunch that talk about how to use different social media platforms correctly. And I think that one of the things I see that a lot of people, photographers especially, struggling with is how many social media platforms there are and trying to fit them into your routine in a way that doesn't ruin your life, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I don't want to be that guy that's like at a bar going, here's me and we're drinking a Budweiser and
yeah,
that's my story.
That's my problem. Like, I don't like to post something unless it's A, funny, B, educational, C, funny and educational. I don't like to just be like, because there's so much of it now. And that's right. The other thing. The gleam is off the cube. Hey, I'm live streaming from Italy. I don't care. I mean, it used to be cool that, you know, I was actually seeing what you were seeing in Italy. But now I don't care. You can see anywhere in the world.
Periscope from somewhere cool. It was like,
yeah, right.
Blown, you know,
and now I don't care. You know, so show me something. It's got to be something interesting, not just here I am.
Well, that's the point about social media, is content is the most important thing. So coming up with something that people actually want to watch, and there's some cool points like, don't make the total sum of your stories for the day longer than 1 minute. So like a video clip in an Instagram story is 10 seconds long. So like if you've got 20, like I've got people that I follow or that are on Instagram, and they've got like 52 different little clips and I have to keep tapping through them to get by. And I'm like, I'm just not going to watch 22 10 second clips for anybody.
Right.
I wouldn't do that for my mother. I'm not going to do that for you. And so I find that if you keep it concise enough and interesting, and the story is kind of cohesive, like when I'm posting a lot, it's like, okay, I'm out on my morning walk and this is what I got going on today. And like, okay, just got to the studio and here's the gear I'm packing up. And then here's the location where I'm shooting and this is what's happening. And like, six to 10 short stories, less than a minute overall of like what's going on. It follows. It's really cool. And people say stuff to me when they see me in person or when a client sees like, hey, that last week, man, that, you know, you had a big week, or you're really busy, or you're doing this. It creates a really cool connectedness between you and your audience. And I think that's cool. But the main point is, I think you have to take which social media platforms you use and decide what it's for. So my Instagram is getting more and more to the point where I'm showing a finished photo of a photo shoot, and then I'm also showing a picture behind the scenes of that same photo shoot, like how I did it. And so in that opportunity, I'm able to tag the client and their business and whatever that's relevant to them. And then in the behind the scenes, I tag the people that made the lights and that made the reflectors, and I tag the, you know what I mean? And you can tag the manufacturers of different things, or you can – it's just a totally different voice, and I'm reaching an audience of my clients who want to see some finished work, and then other people, photographers, and some of my clients who want to see behind the scenes. And it's really no more work. All I got to do is take a phone pullback shot of what I was shooting,
right,
and I post that in like a split frame with the final picture that I already posted earlier that day. And I'm scheduling these out like 2 weeks ahead of time sometimes. Like I've got my – right, today's Sunday. I've got my Instagram scheduled through Friday. And so that gives me the ability to say, okay, half of my day on Monday is scheduling my blog posts, my Facebook, and my Instagram all in that short period of time. So I have
I didn't realize you were scheduling your Instagram in advance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, as much as I can. You know, if I've got – sometimes I've got 3 to 5 shoots in a day. And so that's 3 to 5 shoots. That's 3 to 5 days worth of Instagram material.
Ah.
You know what I mean? So I'll shoot on a Wednesday and I'll have 4 headshot sessions and I will post 1 or 2 from each session in a day and schedule out. So if I got one busy day, I've got social media fodder for the next 5 days. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so are you scheduling that within Instagram or is there a separate program?
Instagram that I don't know of. I use there's Hootsuite is one that people use. I use a program called Later. It used to be called Latergram. And it's just called Later. Now, if you Google Latergram, the website will come up. But it allows you to schedule posts to Instagram and to Facebook. And it's free for 30 posts a month, which is cool. So you can post on Instagram every day of the month. I don't post Sundays, so it actually works out fine because usually there's 3 to 5 Sundays in a month. So I usually have enough posts where I don't even have to upgrade to the paid version just yet, although I do. But, I mean, your average person who just wants to get started with it. And you can schedule it out. You can hashtag and tag people and do the whole thing. The only thing is that no app allows you to post on Instagram except Instagram. So what it does is it makes the post and then your phone will light up and it'll notify you that you scheduled a post and you just have to click through it to tell Instagram to post it. But you're still, all you have to do is tap, 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 and it's done.
What I do is I shoot a wedding and then I'll prepare a blog post. And in that blog post, I might drop 40 images. So I'll retouch all these 40 images and I'll put my logo on them and all that stuff. And I'll put them in a blog post. And then I upload them all into my Google Drive folder for that wedding. And so that now when I open up my photos on my phone, they will all be right there. So every day at some point during the day, I'll just open up photos and go, that one. Pick that one, send it to Instagram, and let it go. So, but I have to do it every day, whereas you've got it all. You can just sit down and do it all at once.
Yeah, well, you can schedule it. You know, you can tease a couple of days leading up to the publishing the blog post for the client, which is cool. And you can even say, like, in the post, you can change the link in the profile to a link to that blog post. And you could say, the whole wedding's up, and here's a link. You know, you're feeding your website with your Instagram, which is a cool way to push traffic onto your website, which is helpful for SEO and all kinds of stuff. Like, the main thing for me is just getting it all to work together. It is such a pain in the butt to have to do this, but what's really cool is when you start to see the return from it, and then it gets sort of fun to try and figure out what it is that people want and what works and what doesn't. And I think that people don't see this massive and immediate return on it, so that they just say, well, it's not working for me, or they give up on it, or they don't post on their Facebook page for a month, you know, and they wonder why it's not yielding any results. It's like, because you're not paying any attention to it, you know.
I think what makes it weird is you're a person who's a personable person, though, who, you know, when I meet somebody or when I see somebody, I dominate the conversation most of the time with stories and talking. Shut up. And but if you do a lot of that on Facebook, then when you run into somebody you haven't seen for a while and they know all your stories.
Yeah, well, I feel like it also gets a lot of the small talk out of the way, which is like, right. Oh, well, how
the small talk, but the small talk sometimes is the only thing that sustains you in a conversation with people. You know, if there's no small talk, it's like, well, let's talk about the Russian Revolution. I mean, you know, we need. Yeah, we got to talk about. Yeah, we got to talk about that funny thing my daughter did last week. Well, you already know about the funny thing my daughter did last week, you know, and you already know about the kitten that we found, and you already know about so that can make it weird sometimes. Suddenly you're like, okay, what's happened to me just today that you don't know about that I can talk about? I'm out of ideas. I got nothing.
Well, what's actually what people who follow me on social media actually might surprise them is I actually don't post a lot about personal stuff on there. You know, I post about, like, movies, and movie trailers and the disappearance of the American honeybee, and, you know, but I don't really post a lot, like, oh my, you know, the people who overshare, you know,
right.
And it's like, okay, just want to let you know that this is happening, and I'm getting my goiter lanced next week, and, you know.
No, listen, I'll tell you right now, if you want me to unfollow you on Facebook, all you need to do is put up just one post on Facebook that says, I'm having the worst day ever.
Yep.
And that's it. So, you know, I'm done with you. Okay. What the hell? Okay. What the hell is that? It's either an obvious plea for everyone to come back and go, "What's wrong? Oh, tell us about your bad day." You know, or it's you totally incapable of not typing in every thought as it comes across your brain. Either way, I don't want to hear from you on a daily basis anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm not a big fan of. You know what I love is when people change their profile picture. This is an interesting Facebook tip. One of the things you can do that gets the most reach is to change your profile picture. In fact, if somebody who you're friends with on Facebook changes their profile picture, they'll pop up in your feed when they otherwise wouldn't, because Facebook sort of prioritizes the people you interact with the most, and those are the people that you see the most in your news feed or whatever. But people, when they change their profile picture, it reaches a lot more. So every once in a while, like a whack-a-mole, somebody who I follow who I don't know or like – maybe don't like and somehow we're friends with on Facebook, they'll change their profile picture and go, "Yes, thank you for changing your profile picture. Now I can unfollow you. I totally forgot that you existed and I hate you."
Thank you for reminding me that I don't want to follow you.
Yeah, so hey, if you change your profile picture and then find out that we're not friends shortly after that, it's because I hate you.
No, we're friends. I just unfollowed you. We're still friends.
We're friends on Facebook.
Facebook. I just unfollowed you. Yeah, I just unfollowed you. And listen, I am totally diplomatic with the follows and the unfollowing. I will not unfollow you unless you give me a reason to unfollow you. So exactly. Don't think that I'm just out there trying desperately to unfollow people. That's not the case at all.
If you use hashtag blessed too much, I will totally unfollow you.
You're done.
I hate it. Hashtag blessed.
Blessed. Hashtag I am blessed. Blessed. I found a dollar. Blessed.
It implies that the universe is giving you good things and screw everybody who's not doing the same
for
it.
That's
right. If you're having a really bad day, the worst thing you can see is like, "Oh, having an amazing time, tripped over a bag of money on my way to get into my gold-plated Mercedes and, you know, like, married the love of my life who's got a six-pack," and you're like, hashtag blessed, and like, you know what? I hope bad things happen to you. I hope you get a flat tire, and I hope your husband gets fat, and I hope all the bad things in life happen to you. Hashtag blessed. Oh. Shove it up your kazoo with your hashtag blessed.
Well, there's no bitterness there.
I think we just titled the episode, hashtag.
I'm guilty of it too, but aren't we all just a little tired of talking about how wonderful our clients are?
No, most of my clients are a nightmare, honestly. No.
I mean, I'm just saying, everybody's just like, especially with weddings. Oh, I just shot this wedding of this couple that was just fantastic. Really, like you would really go online and go, they were a peel. I hated this couple. You would never say that.
Some people do.
And we all do it. We have to do it, you know. I mean, and the truth is, Mike, they all are. They are all wonderful, but no one is, you know, rainbows and unicorns. It's not like, oh my gosh, this wedding was unbelievably, they were so wonderful. Everyone's wonderful. I mean, you know, it's weddings are weddings.
Just 2 weeks ago, about a photographer trashing her client on Facebook or something.
Yeah, you have to trash him. It's just funny how we all have to be so, you know, well, bless your heart and magnanimous. You know,
everything's amazing.
When we all know what we're really trying to do is we're just trying to post pictures of our work so we can hopefully get more work. But we've got to coach it in the whole idea of we're just so happy and so elated and these people are so wonderful and we just can't help but share.
Love
we
and
just
life
can't
and
help
joy.
But share. We just have to share these wonderful pictures.
It's
no, we're not. We're marketing. Everyone's
it's
marketing.
Bursting out of me. Yeah, it's like it's also ingenuine. It's like, you know what people should type when they post about their work and their clients? Words, words, words. Words, words,
yeah.
Words.
Here's a picture.
Hashtag blessed. And then, and then post the pictures. Blah, blah, blah. Words, words, words. And that should be the post.
There you go.
I'm not sure how to spell.
We'll figure it out.
But you should put that. That's how you should do it. Because that, you know what that would be? That would be honest. Because I think every single one of us has sat there at the keyboard. We posted the images into a blog post or a Facebook post, and we're sitting there like, okay, what do I type? I can't use the word amazing too many times.
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful, gorgeous, scrumptulescent.
And you do the blog post, and then the little thing, you know, the Yoast SEO is like, well, there aren't enough words in this post. Well, no, because what can you say about a wedding when it's your 200th wedding?
It's a damn sleeping newborn. It's cute.
Yeah, what are you going to say?
It's covered in fur and slime or something, and I had to Photoshop out all the dead skin. It was really gross. That's what you should post in your newborn photography. It's like, spent a lot of time fixing baby acne and weird patches of dead skin on this newborn, and finally, after 6 hours of retouching, this kid doesn't look like an alien spawn. Love, hashtag blessed. And that's
if it was the truth, the post would just say, I'm pretty happy with this picture, and I hope somebody books me. Here's a picture. Because that's exactly what you're doing.
I had no appointments today, so I had time to write a blog post. Yes, here's
a picture. That's what they should be. All social media and all blogs should just be, I had some time, here's a picture, please call me and book me.
I need attention so much. I need you to validate me. Please click like on this so that I can feel.
Oh, I know you're past that, and I'm past that. But you're right. There are still some people who are doing a lot of that. Yeah.
Hell no, I'm not past that. At least not in. You know what? It's not like a. I need the approval, but I need to feel like I'm doing my social media correctly. So, I mean, when I post anything, I know exactly, because I post at 8 a.m. on Instagram pretty much all the time, unless I sleep through that, and then I post it when I wake up. But I post on Instagram, schedule the post at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I know by how many likes I get between 8 and 10 a.m., roughly how many likes that picture is going to end up with. So right. I check it at 10 a.m., and I'm like, it's only got 14 likes right now. God, so I'll probably end up with about 50 likes today, and that's like low, below my average.
Yeah, there's like, a group for you. I think there's a 12-step program for you, Gary.
No, but I want to see the chart. I want to see my interaction on my social media going up over time. You know, so I have to keep. Do you people want from me? I'm posting. I'm throwing pearls before swine here. Just take your freaking finger and tap on the picture twice so that I can sleep at night.
Tell me about your relationship with your mother.
Just
saying.
You know what? I don't think we have enough time.
I feel like you're going down a path here where there's going to be some therapy involved at some point if you don't stop worrying. I don't ever look at the likes on my pictures. Every once in a while, I'll scroll them and go, the only thing I've noticed over time is that the pictures that get the most likes are not my professional work, but rather a picture of my kids. That gets the most likes. So, I mean, people like. People, and that's because they're guilt liking. They're like, oh, it's his kid. I gotta like that. I gotta hit the like button. Don't tell me, you can't tell me that the most likes you've ever received aren't pictures of the baby.
No, because I was using the Instagram as like behind the scenes of our business and our family, and it was all pictures with the phone, and it was all behind the scenes and stuff. And we were averaging probably about 30, 40 likes a picture. And once I started posting finished work and behind the scenes of the photography, I think that our likes started to go. Now we're between like 70 and 120. You know what I mean? And that's without a super significant increase in follows, probably maybe 200 more followers since I changed that. So we are picking up followers a little bit, like 5 to 10 a week net gain of followers. But like – the people seem to like, and I think it's because at least half of the people on Instagram that are following us are other photographers. So I think they like the finished work and then the lighting setups, because those get the biggest response from anything that we post. Although up until that point, when I posted pictures of Ellie smiling or sitting on my shoulders or something, those were always the ones we got the most of. But we literally doubled, and in some cases, probably the average is 2.5 times the average amount of likes on a post since we switched our Instagram for Instagram being instead of behind the scenes of us doing stuff to finished work and behind the scenes of the lighting setups.
My favorite is what I like to do is take a picture that tanked in competition and post it and watch everyone go just crazy for it. That's my favorite. That's my favorite. Take a picture that got like a 78 and then post it and watch everyone just go, oh my God, that's the best picture I've ever seen in my life. I'm secretly going, yes. And it got a 78. It got 8 points out of 30.
I lost the over-under. Yeah. I had said that you would mention competition within the first 15 minutes of the podcast, and I was wrong. We're at 32 minutes now. So
I don't mention competition that much during the podcast.
Every single episode.
I do not. Well, during competition season, I mention it. Well, it's competition season. Every week is a different competition.
In my head, I just had that you were going to bring it up at some point, and I lost my own bet against myself.
I'm in the face of the IPC, Gary. You expect me not to mention? I'll tell you what. Let's have an over-under on how long into the podcast before Gary mentions a headshot. that's going to happen. That's what we do.
With weddings, absolutely. Yeah. But of course, headshots are what I primarily do for a living.
Right. And competition is a big part of what I do. Well, about competition.
Complaining about competition is one of the best, things that you do.
No, talking about competition. Yeah, competing not so much, but the talking about, yes, I do a lot of talking about it.
Hey, so we got some activity on the Facebook page from the week since the last week's episode. in response to our discussion last week's episode about what photographers we think will be remembered, we had a David Rizzico posted on the – sorry if I pronounced that wrong, David – on the Facebook page. Great show this week. However, I think you missed the mark when talking about which photographers in 300 years would define photography. 99% of the quote-unquote famous photographers out there would only be recognized by other photographers. Well, maybe you didn't miss the mark. People outside of photography who read general articles that mention photography are probably influenced the most to say who they think represents photography, and these people, based on the writing of so-called experts, will dictate who is to talk about 300 years from now. When photography is discussed in the future, it will be discussed in terms of genre similar to today when art teachers talk about painting. And so I thought that was a pretty interesting reply. Thanks for listening, David. We appreciate it. Of course, you're wrong. It's fine, but you're wrong.
You know, well, he's right in that that's the step, that we will get to the point where photography is talked about in genre. But my premise was when we get beyond that point. You know, like, yeah. I'm sure there are genres of marching band music, but we're beyond talking about genres of marching band music, and now it's just John, it's just, you know, Philip Sousa. So, it will get to the point where they'll say, well, Bob Marley and Elvis and U2, these different genres. But then eventually, 500, 600 years out, it just becomes rock and roll, you know, is just, and there's like one name that is associated with rock and roll.
Well,
you know,
is photography something that it will become an oddity of the past? Will there be some other technology that supersedes it?
I think, you know, so.
Is it possible that the industry will evolve and change to the point where it's not even recognizable? Like, do you believe that they did still photographs?
Yes,
back then?
I think it will. No, I think it absolutely will. I think that paint. See, because paintings still have where you still talk about different styles, but that's because people still paint. I think that the day will come when people do not take what we know to be photographs. It'll be more like, you know, like when you're watching
from your
yeah. It'll be like the newspaper in Harry Potter. You know,
dude, I was just thinking the same thing. It's like,
yeah,
they're just waving at you. Is it a little animated GIFs coming out of the newspaper?
There will be no still photography. It will be some sort of interactive thing, or, you know, the chip in your brain projects a hologram. Who knows? But I think the classical, you take a picture and then you put it on the wall. That's going to completely disappear. And when that happens, eventually, photography will be gelled down to one or two names, like Ansel Adams and Matthew Brady, and that'll be it.
Well, this will be interesting to look into the future and see if that happens. That is to say, of course, unless we blow up our planet ahead of time.
So between now and then.
So we had a couple other questions from last week. We were planning on getting to the discussion on websites and what to do for websites this week, but I think we'll save that for next week. I want to do a whole show on what we use for websites and what our best options are, WordPress, Squarespace, and other stuff like that. Even Adobe has some options, so we will get to that. That was, I forget who wrote that in, Leslie Evans maybe, and we will get to that, I promise, if Bouray and I can ever stop talking in order to answer one of your questions.
Well, first we'll do 15 minutes on competition, and then we will talk about websites.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I can live with that. Absolutely.
Right. What have you got coming up?
Well, really soon, actually. We got coming up that I'm going to be speaking at Shutterfest Extreme, which is April 20th. In Kansas – or St. Louis, Missouri. I would say Kansas City in St. Louis, Missouri. That is Shutterfest.com. You get all the information. There's Shutterfest, which is 2 days. It's 18th and 19th. And Shutterfest Extreme is the day after. And it's a whole day of businessing programming. So you'll have Elise Benin and Roberto Blake and Sal Cincotta will all be doing programs, and myself, all about business, everything from personal branding and marketing. And so I'm doing an all-new program called Master Your Marketing, and sponsored by White House Custom Color. Thanks, you guys, for that. And after that, I got some stuff coming up in June. I just got some news. I'll be doing a program for the San Diego PPA, and that's all on the – all of our speaking gigs are on photobombpodcast.com right there on the homepage. But what's cool is now that the venue, I'm going to be speaking at the University of San Diego, which is really cool. So that's going to be – yeah, isn't that neat? So
college
that's be
girls.
little too young for me at this point, but I anyway. So I'll be doing an all day headshot.
I don't know what that looks like, though. You know, I would like to. I haven't been on a college in so long. I would like to go to a college just to see what does it look like. What do college girls look like now?
I'm gonna say that they probably look very, very young.
I'll tell you this. Listen, I'll tell you this. Last night I was at a bar mitzvah, and the older daughter, who I did her bar mitzvah 4 years ago, she's now 17, and she has some of her friends were there, and the best looking girl in my high school did not hold a candle to the ugliest girl that was there last night with this girl at the bar mitzvah. High school girls now are just way too good looking for high. You know, as a parent, it scares me to think that my children are approaching that. My girls are getting to that age. And now it used to be that they looked like high school girls. And then when you got to the point where you were going to nightclubs, you were 21 or 22. Then you started seeing the girls who were, hey, micro mini skirt and done up to the nines and a little bit. Oh, wow. You know, now that's what they look like at 16. You know, it's scary.
Probably hormones in the chicken or something. I don't know.
It's got to be hormones in the chicken.
But I'm certainly not going to comment on what on how attractive I think high school girls are. I think that would probably be in bad taste. But I'm just,
no,
I'm
not saying.
That's
how is
me.
It?
That's
I'm saying
me.
Being
just
attractive me. Is a good thing. How is it bad to be attractive?
Well, as long as society is becoming more and more beautiful overall, that's fine.
That's my point, is that they are.
Like, we need any more ugly people hanging around.
Yeah, the average high school girl is – and yet they – you know, but I was talking about this morning. Generationally, though –
Should we pull up? Should we just jump out of this discussion?
No, but look at the pictures of, like, your mom's high school class, and you're like, ooh, right? And then every generation, they get better looking. But here's my point. They don't get better looking. Structurally and genetically, we don't change. So it must just be hairstyles and clothing and all of the other things that we mix in that make, you know, I look at, like, my mom's high school class picture. Those are some ugly people in that class. I'm just saying, the whole class is ugly. But the fact is, they can't
love
be that
you,
ugly. You know what I'm saying? They can't be that ugly. Yet one generation is not enough for an entire population to go from ugly to good looking.
You grew up in the 80s. Do you look back at somebody's high school senior picture from the 80s with the big teased out hair and the shoulder pads covered?
Exactly. That's my point.
All right.
My point is, if I went back and I pulled all the girls from my high school class out and then had them go and get made up and done and everything the way that the high school girls do now, would they look like the high school girls now?
I am going to not comment on that.
I'm just saying, is it in fact just, you know, the styles and stuff that influence us? That they really, that people really don't look different. It's just that we think they look different because, I don't know, we like that look now.
You know,
as photographers,
really,
this is an interesting
thing. I'm only attracted
thing.
To women my own age. So,
well,
I didn't say
I was attracted to them. I said they were attractive. I'm not attracted to them. I'm afraid of them because I know my daughters are going to be that age very, very soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you think about that, that's a conversation that I don't like to have with people. Go like, oh, well, you need to buy a shotgun for when your daughter's
older.
Yeah. I'm like, it's like, yeah, because, you know, rub my face in the fact that it's going to be awkward thinking about my daughter and her, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you're at the thing, and you see the girls over there that are 16 years old and they look like Beyonce. And you're going, that's my daughter's like 2 years away from that. You know? I don't want that.
Good luck, buddy.
No.
I wish you the best.
You're going to wear a pair of overalls.
I'm going to say you should stay away from bar and bat mitzvahs in the future. And just a little professional advice.
See, you're the one making this creepy. I make my living by looking at how people look and photographing them, so I'm certainly going to notice how people look.
Right, yeah. If that's creepy, then every camera club and workshop in the world is creepy. Because when was the last time you went to a photographic workshop and the models were like just middle-aged dudes? It's like, obviously everybody likes to photograph attractive women, and even more so than attractive men. Even women photographers prefer to photograph attractive women than attractive men for the most part.
Yeah, just once I wanted to be like, well, we got Bob from the front desk to come over and pose for you.
Yeah, this is Jerry. He's a sandwich artist at Subway, and he's been there for 17 years. He just got promoted to assistant to the assistant manager. His favorite color is green, and he's going to be our model today. He didn't bring any clothes with him, so he's just going to model in his Subway polo shirt. Good luck with that.
And try to show his love of sandwich artistry in the photo. Try to express that for us, would you?
Then just take a picture of his belly, because that's where it all.
Are you going to be? I interrupted your. Is there any place else you're going to be
I'll be speaking for the Austin PPA coming up. That will be on the 20-something. It's all on the website in June 20-something. So I'll be in San Diego, I'll be in Austin, and I'll be in St. Louis, all for speaking stuff. But you have some gigs coming up too, right? Don't you?
Next week, less than a week. from today. Matter of fact, a week from today, I will be speaking in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Go to MNPPA.com and come see me. I'm speaking twice in Minneapolis, St. Paul. That's right. The speaker's so nice, they had him speak twice. That's MNPPA.com. And coming up April 17th in Tallahassee, go to TPPG.org, and come see me in Tallahassee. And I got a bunch of other stuff coming up too, but it's a ways out. Again, go to the website, photobombpodcast.com.
You know, Bure, you got such an exciting life. You are so hashtag blessed, my friend.
I am blessed. I am certainly blessed. All right. We will see you back here again next week.
All right. See you later.